The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh music, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 25th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green on this rainy Tuesday morning as we took a moment just now to commemorate the passing of the one and only Roberta Flack. I'm not sure how many of you have heard that version of Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack. That version is actually the Jackson 5 performing Killing Me Softly on the Cosby Show back, would have to be the early 60s. Michael Jackson was sitting at the table. He was being interviewed as the band prepared to sing. I had never seen that clip before. I'd never heard that version before, but I thought, wow, what a moment in time. The Jackson 5 covering Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack on Bill Cosby talk show. I don't even know the name of the talk show, and I will take a moment right now to say, I imagine lots of you are saying, and we forgetting the name Bill Cosby too. The question is, can you forget the man and keep the legacy and the impact that the Cosby Show has had on African-American families, on race dynamics in the United States of America? But those are the things, those are the types of issues we have to tussle with as we move through this world. Again, it's Tuesday, the 25th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I've got a full show today. The bulk of the show, we're going to be focusing on an event that's taking place Thursday night, this Thursday, the 27th of February, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Harry Seymour Library. The event is called The Truth About Cannabis, and it's being hosted by the Bahamas Medical Association in conjunction with the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association.
Yes, yeah. Good morning, everybody. My name is Yori Kemp. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of IROC Media, and we're organizing the event for the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association and the Bahamas Medical Association. So they decided that ahead of the legislation, they want to inform people about some of the issues around cannabis. Not necessarily all about the legislation. They're going to talk about the health benefits and the disbenefits of marijuana.
All right. So I have a list of questions that I've prepared to ask them at the event on Thursday night. I want to run through some of these.
At the Harry Seymour Library.
At the Harry Seymour Library at the University of the Bahamas. I want to run through some of those questions today. I want to encourage people to go out and attend the event. See, this is, I'm a human rights advocate. I'm a civil society person. This is magic. This is a public consultation session where you get to go and listen to the experts, speak to the experts, and ask questions of the experts so you could frame your own position, right? You're not an expert, but you do have an obligation to participate in important national discourse. Now, before we get there, I just got a couple of housekeeping notes. I got to first touch base with my friend Kalik. Y'all don't understand the relationship I have. Kalik loved me so much, I know Kalik gonna make a juju rattler. I know they gonna make a juju rattler. But in the meantime, Click the Bay of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxons Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawn and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxons Superstars. And then on the next weekend, Equality Bahamas is hosting its International Women's Day March and Expo. Annual, they have been hosting this March and Expo since 2018. The March and Expo is taking place Saturday, March 8th. In preparation for the March and Expo, there's a sign-making and screen-printing day, Sunday, March 2nd, noon to 5 p.m. at Ponciana Paper Press. Get creative and make your protest signs and try your hand at screen printing with the Equality Bahamas team. Both events are free, family-friendly, and open to the public. Another quick note. We want to share condolences with the family of attorney Kelly K. Ingram on her sudden and tragic passing. Attorney Kelly K. A. Ingram is the daughter of former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram and Mrs. Dolores Ingram. The leader of the Free National Movement, Michael C. Pintard, posted a beautiful and small, beautiful tribute from the party yesterday. And we want to say condolences to the family and to the party, as she was a vibrant part of that family. On another note, just before we get the conversation started, I met this young man this weekend. His name is Ansel Ramming. Do you all know Ansel Ramming? He's a national hero. He works for Bahama. Last year, he was just, you know, doing what Bahamians do on a weekend, gallivanting, having a good time. He came upon a scene where two young kids were recovered from the water near Gambier and community. And he, being a lifeguard, was able to employ his lifeguard training and CPR training. The kids were unresponsive, but he was able to attend to them until emergency medical services came to the scene. And those kids are alive thanks to Mr. Ansel Ramming. I just wanted to call his name and say we got to recognize our heroes when they come. And this young man is definitely a hero. He's also suffering a loss in his family. I want to share with him. I want us all to share with him condolences on the passing of his sister. Also a sudden passing. And tragic. And we say, Ansel, we with you in the good times and the hard times. Congratulations for becoming the man that you are. And we really appreciate that. I just wanted to read that put that on the record just before reading this headline: man shot after filing rape complaint last year dies. We're going to touch on that story later this week. That's another national hero who we have not given enough recognition, and unfortunately, he has passed away. We put that aside now. We're going to get back to this conversation, the truth about cannabis. Mr. Kemp, I want to start by letting people know that they can go to the website cannabisbahamas.gov.bs to take a look at the government's presentation, right, on their attempt to regulate a cannabis industry in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that, to regulate a cannabis industry in the Bahamas?
Yeah. It's okay. Fair to say, but that's the government's business, you know.
Yeah.
And the medical association, the pharmaceutical association, are really concerned about your health in particular, because they know that everyone's now talking about marijuana, all right? But people are forgetting that there are side effects of marijuana, first of all. And then, you know, there's some health benefits of marijuana as well. So they want to make sure that you're up to date on what's the new trends and topics surrounding cannabis, medical grade cannabis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The website that I mentioned, though, lists the compendium of new legislation that the government intends on enacting to create this industry. Now, when I refer to the words of Dr. Michael R. Darville, Minister of Health and Wellness, he spoke in the House of Assembly on 15th of May, 2024. And he said, today I am pleased to outline the specifics of the compendium of bills that establishes a regulated medical cannabis framework for the Bahamas. So this is really about medical cannabis. For me, it appears as if the government's focus is primarily medical cannabis, establishing a controlled system for cannabis use in medical treatments.
Yes.
Right? And so I expect the Bahamas Medical Association and the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association to be a major part, not just of the rollout, the creation and rollout of the legislation, but the operation of the institutions and mechanisms created within this framework.
Yes, yes. Particularly the Pharmaceutical Association, because they're going to be the ones issuing, you know, the medical cannabis out to persons who come in to fill their prescriptions. Of course, you know, you could go to your doctor and get a prescription for, you know, any a wider range of ailments, from cancer treatments to glaucoma.
To gas,
anxiety.
Yeah.
A lot of people suffer from anxiety, you know.
Absolutely.
And marijuana helps with anxiety. So, you know, Dr. Cooper's going to talk about all the medical conditions that could come under, you know, medical marijuana treatment. But the Pharmaceutical Association, they're going to be the ones giving out all the marijuana. And I want to assure the public that the Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association, this is not going to be a free-for-all where you can just walk up to a pharmacy or you can walk up to your doctor and say, hey, give me a 10-plate. You know, that's not going to happen like that. And they want to make that absolutely clear this Thursday.
Right. But so a set of questions that I have already lined out, right, is in what forms will medical cannabis be dispensed in country, right?
I think Dr. Darville made it clear when he had a press conference last year, and he said that there could be a wide range of cannabis types. That you could have, you know, the regular marijuana inside your hand, which you grow on the tree. You could have marijuana oils, cannabis oils. You could have cannabis pills. And you could have a bunch of cannabis creams. Anything that comes under cannabis will be available for treatment if you have an ailment.
Listen, from a woman's perspective, a woman named Whoopi Goldberg, some of y'all may know who she is, right, has released a line of products, feminine menstrual health care products. And she has a line of cannabis-infused tampons and menstrual pads. Mm-hmm. Right. And the cannabis is the pain relieving element of the product. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that lots of women, because we do have, I think, an abnormally high instance of menstrual health complications in the country, from endometriitis, PCOS, women having heavy bleeding, extreme pain. A lot of women have to organize their work life so they are able to take one day off a month during this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to hear what the breadth, B-R-E-A-D-T-H, and scope of products that could be available in country. And from speaking specifically to the pharmacies, what is the process or procedure for identifying a product that I would like my doctor to prescribe for me, right? How do I ensure that that product can enter the Bahamas, does fit within whatever regulations for importation of medical cannabis products, right?
You see, and this is one of the issues that Dr. Marvin Smith, he's the president of the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association, he has with the government with regard to making sure these regulations are in place and making sure that they dialogue with the Pharmaceutical Association, because there aren't any regulations yet. It's just the legislation. And so these things have to be fleshed out. But apparently, the government hasn't been talking to the Pharmaceutical Association about these regulations. And so that's one of the things Dr. Smith is going to highlight this Thursday. You know, what kind of medical marijuana? What grade is it? You know, you just can't. It has to have a certain THC level. And so these things have to be discussed. And he's going to raise a whole litany of concerns with regard to these regulations moving forward.
Yeah, and I will say that I doing some research last night, looking at the legislation, the bill that's been posted online. There are three schedules, and the most interesting of the three is the second schedule that talks about dosages, right? And the dosage level accepted for this type of treatment. That entire page is blank. Right? And so it was difficult to try and ascertain what it is I'm looking at, you know, I would be discussing because there was no information there. But just a point before we kind of move forward, public consultation is so important, right? Because I can imagine that for a lot of men, they don't understand how integral menstrual health is to a woman's life and to her professional life, right? And I wonder if we women need to lobby specifically for the state to recognize menstrual health issues as important enough to be included in this new list of treatment or conditions that can be treated with medical cannabis. I think that's so important because the products are available. The work has already been done. People already recognize the need for these types of products. The need for women to have alternate pain treatment options because lots of women are on lots of other types of medication. And cannabis may be a pain relief option that does not interfere with other medications.
Yes, indeed. And there's a wide range of things you get treatment for cannabis for. And I didn't know about menstrual issues with regard to cannabis. And so you brought something new to me today. And I'm quite certain that Dr. Marcus Cooper knows because he's going to be presenting on Thursday as well. And so, you know, there's a wide range of issues, man. And these things have to be talked about. These things have to be discussed. And he's going to bring a whole list of things that, you know, medical conditions that can be treated with cannabis.
All right. In the same way that a cancer patient or an HIV patient may have to take meds that require food, has to be taken with food, but the state that you're in renders you nauseous, right? Or the medication renders you nauseous and it's difficult to keep the food down. Cannabis, in the same way for menstrual health, women can find themselves in a place where they can't take the medication they need to relieve the pain because they're in a state of nausea, and the cannabis pain pills may provide an alternate, right, to that state.
Yeah, it can, you know. And, you know, marijuana mellows you out. It eases the pain. What Peter Tosh said, legalizing.
No, absolutely.
And the Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association, they agree with the government. It should only be for medicinal purposes. It should not be for recreational purposes. Yes, they understand that the Rastafarians, they have it for their religious purposes, right? But it should only be for medical marijuana. And they need to know exactly what dosage and they need to know exactly what regulations are going to be in effect for cannabis. And so far, you know, they haven't been talking, the government hasn't been talking to the Pharmaceutical Association on these dosage medications. And so this is going to be important moving forward.
Well, I mean, absolutely. One second, Yuri, let me just get right there. We're going to get back to this, especially because, and I think this may be one of the greater portions of the night, the new pharmaceutical bill creates a new type of pharmacy, right? And so I know that pharmacists are very concerned about how this new pharmacy will be operating. And so we're going to get back to that. Nuri, come on, Michael, come on.
No, I was listening to Yuri, and he mentioned it twice now, that the Pharmaceutical Association in particular, but also the Medical Association, is lobbying or pushing forward or trying to ensure that the government...
They want to work with the government.
They want to partner with the government, but for medical marijuana only. But if other avenues are being put forward, would the Pharmaceutical Association lobby the other way to say, well, we just want to do medical marijuana?
As far as I'm concerned, the Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association, they're only concerned about medicinal cannabis. All the other things, all the other ancillary efforts, they could do what they want to do. But right now, the Medical Association, the Pharmaceutical Association, they're only concerned about medical marijuana. They're only concerned about your health. They're really concerned about your health, Nuri. They're really concerned about your health.
And Aaron mentioned the dispensaries or the new avenues of dispensaries. I know on a previous interview that Aaron had, Marvin Smith mentioned that they should have first and only option for dispensaries.
And he's adamant in that. Okay. Yeah, he's adamant in that, sincerely.
Absolutely. So, sorry, let's speak right to that. If we go back to the presentation given by the minister responsible for health and wellness on the 15th of May, 2024, he says, the Pharmacy Amendment Bill also plays a crucial role by establishing protocols for the dispensation of medical cannabis. It creates a new category of pharmacy, the cannabis dispensary, which is specifically licensed to handle and dispense cannabis with oversight from a licensed pharmacist. The bill ensures that all dispensing procedures meet high safety standards and that dispensaries maintain accurate records of cannabis transactions to monitor usage and prevent abuse. But the Pharmaceutical Association's concern is the presence and function of a pharmacist in this new dispensary, and that these new amendments or provisions align with the intent of the original Pharmacy Act, which is only pharmacists can dispense medicine in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Well, that's the legislation, you know,
right.
And that's how it's been forever. And that's one of the things they're really concerned about, this new dispenser. And that's the last thing that the Pharmaceutical Association, they work with the government on, making sure that there's a clear delineation between a cannabis dispenser and a pharmacy. Right, and they wanted to make sure that this is very fleshed. This is clearly fleshed out inside the legislation. That's the last thing they worked on. But all of a sudden, it just dropped off the map. And they want to talk about the regulations now moving forward, if it's going to come into force, because you know they've been promising this cannabis legislation for years now. But we think it's going to come in by Q2. So the Attorney General said you're going to start issuing the first licenses. Who is going to get the first licenses, and under what circumstances, and what's the regulations to monitor these first set of licenses?
I'd love to talk about timelines when you're done, Yuri.
Okay, Aaron mentioned earlier about creams, which may be considered as cosmetic, right? But is cream cosmetic or is that medication? And if it's cosmetic in terms of how it feels and how it alleviates pain, can it be someplace other than a pharmacy that can dispense that?
See, all of these things that the Pharmaceutical Association is going to talk about on Thursday night, because like you said, you know, creams are cosmetics, right? But there are some creams that are for medication. You know, my mother took a cream on her leg for years and it was medically prescribed by a doctor, and she had to fill it every time she went to the pharmacy. So these are things we have to actually talk about. And this is why getting the regulations in place and making sure that the government talks to the Pharmaceutical Association on these regulations is so important. These things have to be discussed at that level.
Right,
and we can't be talking in these silos, you know.
An excellent point that you made, Mr. Newry, like making a distinction between cosmetic creams and medical creams, right? As a cream, I have to purchase, you know, once in a blue moon. And that is expensive, but it's definitely medical. It's not over-the-counter. You need a prescription to get it, right? And so ensuring that these details are captured by the legislators, those who are actually writing the laws, so there's no misunderstanding, right, at the point of sale.
Yeah.
And that the doctors understand what they can prescribe and not build up the hopes, right, of, because when it comes to one's health now, right, we feel like, well, look, I'm going to take any measure available to me for my health. And so if a doctor gives me the wrong information, I may feel empowered to do something that I technically am unable to do, right? And that's a horrible place for a patient to be in. Patients need doctors who are clear with the information, have certainty, because you are giving your patient a degree of confidence that you and the doctor can handle this situation.
And this is where the doctors come in, because there's a duty of care of a doctor to give you the proper information with regard to your health. They must discuss with you and consult you all the available treatments available to you for any kind of ailment you have. And so there's a duty of care by doctors to make sure that they talk to you about your illness.
Mr. Kemp, you mentioned people operating in silos, right? Well, at this meeting by the Pharmaceuticals
Association,
will they mention their last meeting with the government and the update on that?
I expect a full and frank discussion by the Pharmaceutical Association and the Medical Association this Thursday evening. You know, Dr. Smith isn't shy. He's the president of the BPA. He's not shy. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Marcus Cooper's been like a staple in the media for God knows how long now. So he's very forthright and he's very frank. So we expect very frank and upfront discussions tonight about your health, man. This is your health, you know. Mm-hmm. You just can't walk into Oak Tree Medical and say, you know, Dr. DeVoe, give me a 10 plate. You know, and then, you know, people are just, we're on this wave now with this legalization of marijuana. We see it in Jamaica, we see it in Antigua. But then there are some side effects of marijuana as well, too, you know. I visited Colorado a year and a half ago, and the people were walking around like zombies, Aaron. Walking around like zombies, man. That's a legalized state. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. We don't want people to be overdosed on marijuana and just abusing the system. And so these are the things that have to be talked about.
There are personal health concerns, mm-hmm. and there are also public safety concerns that are absolutely on the table. One thing is the use of or operation of motor vehicles and heavy equipment mm-hmm. while under the influence of a substance, right? Mm-hmm. Cannabis operates in the body differently from alcohol, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes it's pretty easy to see when somebody is cut, right? Maybe not half cut, maybe not tipsy, but we know when somebody's cut. You know when you wake up and you still have alcohol in your body, right? But the question is, when you wake up in the morning, do you know how much cannabis you have in your body, right? And so
Dr. Cooper's going to talk about it on Thursday.
Like timelines, if we legalize medical cannabis, a person is taking medical cannabis as a regular treatment, how does that impact their ability to drive? Now, personally, you're saying subjectively, I know whether I could drive or not, but I mean legally. Well, we have a law that says, look, We're gonna now have to be, well, I mean, we do have a law, don't we? The question is, do we enforce it? But will we begin to enforce more strictly our driving under the influence laws? Mm-hmm. Because now you may be under the influence of cannabis while you're operating a vehicle.
Oh, wow.
So who should be attending this meeting come Thursday?
Anybody who has a medical condition that needs treatment, any doctor that's going to be at the front lines of this, of giving prescriptions for medical marijuana, any pharmacist that's going to be on the front lines dispensing cannabis, anyone who's interested in medical grade cannabis and interested in getting involved in the industry should be at this event.
All right. Let's take a call and then we get back to some more questions like that. That was a great question, Mr. Newry. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I think the legalize the cannabis is a good idea. I think it has a lot of good to it with medical conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you talking about driving, I won't be in Bahamas here. I hear I high up in the air. The pilot high. We ain't going nowhere.
Right. And so in terms of introducing this new culture to the Bahamas, right? Yuri, I'm going to add to the list for Mr. Newry. Any NGOs, non-governmental organizations, civil society organizations that are doing community-based work, come out to this session and understand how the passing of this legislation may impact your community.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I think that's vitally important. If you are a pro-cannabis advocate or an anti-cannabis advocate, broader than just medical cannabis, come out to the session. Here's why. You want to arm yourself with verified information. You want to hear the experts speak about the issues to build your advocacy, right? For those who are pro-cannabis, I'm saying if you want an advocacy to broaden the liberalization of cannabis, hear what the medical practitioners are saying so that your campaign doesn't unnecessarily, I don't want to say demean, but impact, right? Like, because we can build campaigns. We don't have to agree, but we can build campaigns that don't destroy the other person's campaign, right? And so I think that it would be beneficial to those pro-cannabis advocates to come out and hear this discussion.
Aaron, it seems to be two campaigns. I see you mentioned that or hinted towards that.
Yeah.
That campaign for persons who want to have recreational marijuana enacted, come out to this medical marijuana talk?
Sure, they could come. They could come. It's open to anybody who's interested in cannabis and the legislation, that the cannabis legislation. It's just that the Medical Association and the Pharmaceutical Association, they are adamant and only medicinal purposes for cannabis.
And so I'm saying don't come to fight. Don't come to row and say why y'all don't broaden it. Mm. I would come and ask, is the Medical Association and Pharmaceutical Association open to sharing collected data with other advocates, right? So that we could build a baseline study, see it there, so that we could use data to inform future advocacy. You see how I go into the phone line? I'm so sorry, caller.
Call back. We're good. Just going to go to you just now.
323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259-242-300-5720. For Family Island listeners, that number is toll free. Will there be a live feed? And producer, let's go to that phone line.
No, they won't. There's a strictly live event. You have to come.
Okay, if I go, I could set up my own live feed.
Yeah, and you could.
I could do that? Okay, no problem. No problem. Good stuff. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Green. Am I on?
Yes, sir, you are on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Mr. Green. Good morning to your guests.
Morning.
Good.
Morning. I've been tuning in. I didn't catch the very, very start, but I've tuned in for a good couple of minutes then. I want to ask your guests a question. I mean, just a logical question. So, do you think that something that that you can plant in the ground, it can grow from a seed, that you can pick it without adding any chemicals to it, do you think it should be something that that you're discussing in this light, that where you feel as if it should only be distributed for medical purposes, where you feel as if, what's the other thing that you said? Do you feel as if that's a good thing, sir? I mean, do you feel as if that's right? And when you was talking about the recreational, when people talk about recreational, they make it seem as if it's some kind of fun. You know, the kind of way to make it seem as if it's some kind of fun. You yourself said that it can be used to treat anxiety, right? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and anxiety is something that can come upon anyone. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you know what I mean? You don't have to suffer from any condition to be anxious, right? You agree with that, sir?
Well, there's a medical condition called, you can be diagnosed with extreme anxiety.
Extreme anxiety, but what I'm saying is that anxiety is something that we all experience. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, sir. So me as a person, right? Who, like, you know what I mean? You could go and pick an apple, eat an apple, you could eat all these things up a tree, right? Me as a regular human being, an adult human being, right? Just let's say I feel a little anxious. I have a little anxiety, right? And why do I like I said, this thing grows in the tree. Why shouldn't I have free access to this thing? Why shouldn't and see? You're talking about the dangers of it. See, I've been using marijuana stuff for like, 30 years now.
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
And as you can hear, sir, if you listen, I'm very lucid, right? On top of that, sir, you'd be surprised to see some of the things that I've done. The best music are made by individuals who use marijuana. Now, you see, this is all about the money. And I would like it. I would prefer, and I would respect persons like yourself more if you always said that. Because if it was all about health, y'all would be on alcohol. You understand? Y'all would be on alcohol now. You see, now, right now, sir, this is about to cause a problem in this nation, and people are only concerned about their pockets. Do you understand where I come from? Because you yourself said that an individual can't just walk up and say, "Give me a 10 plate," right? But people have been doing that. People who are older than me were able to do that on this island for 50 years or 40 years without any problems. So now what will happen now when they cannot access it so easily, right, and freely, right? On top of that, sir, I don't expect that marijuana, that you will be able to even purchase something what they call a half bag nowadays. Some fellas even sell $3 joints. I don't even believe you
hypothetically
afford that. So you're causing a problem in society just because you all want money. And you're spreading a false narrative as it relates to marijuana, creating this whole big old hullabaloo over nothing because you all want money.
Okay, so call up. So first things first, we could... Thank you very much for your call today. I'm going to respond and I'm going to let Mr. Kemp respond. Remember, Mr. Kemp is a representative, right? He is organizing this event on behalf of the two professional associations that will be presenting.
Sounds like he's going to show up to the event. I can't wait to see him.
I'm hoping that he shows up to the event with his hypothetical questions. Mm. When you go up to the mic, start off by saying all of this is hypothetical, okay? Please and thank you, because the police could be there. Mm. All right? Second thing. We can all acknowledge that there was a worldwide prohibition on cannabis. The prohibition didn't start because they thought that cannabis was so dangerous it needed to be removed from the earth. You're absolutely right. There was an economic element at the forefront of the prohibition, right? Before that point, they had cocaine, heroin, and cannabis and all the medicine. It's 2025 now. We know we're not going back to that. Mm-hmm. We know we're not going back to where any medicine you had either heroin, cocaine, or cannabis in it. We ain't going back to that. So we know that there's an economic element to the prohibition. But take some time to examine what's happening. Although the medical professionals are limited to medical cannabis only, that doesn't mean that they are discounting or ignoring what it is you're saying. A more nuanced reading of this would say that they are prioritizing the medical benefits of the thing, also understanding the limitations of a society to manage its use. They got a responsibility, right? So, sure, there's a medical element, but let's approach it like this. Big question for me. How affordable and accessible will cannabis medicine products, medical cannabis products, be for the average Bahamian? Will the Pharmaceutical Association be able to speak at this point in time to that issue? Will it initially be affordable? How accessible will it be? In their consultation with the government, do they imagine these products being available through the NHI drug plan? Will it only be initially available through private health care options, right? And then further down the line, I get this mind-blowing question. Could a medical cannabis tourism product subsidize access for local patients?
Mm. See, and these are some of the concerns that Dr. Smith has in particular, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why the conversation kind of dropped off after they got to the point where, you know, there's going to be cannabis dispensers with the pharmacies. And the discussions with the government just dropped off. And so all of these are valid points, Aaron. All of these are real considerations that the Pharmaceutical Association wants to flesh out with the government with regard to these regulations. Mm-hmm. And the conversation just stopped. And they're concerned about it because if you're going to pass the legislation, at least talk to us about what these regulations are going to be and how we're going to, you know, set price points, how we're going to get, you know, a medical grade, how we're going to get medical grade cannabis and all that kind of stuff. So these are real concerns.
So who's going to be presenting at this meeting?
It's going to be Dr. Marcus Cooper. He was the former president of the Medical Association of the Bahamas. And we're going to have Dr. Marvin Smith. He's the president of the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association, two top tier medical professionals in the country.
Anyone from the government would be there or
Ministry of Health? No government. This is strictly just private sector. No government. Because if you invite the government, it's going to be, we invite them to come and watch. But when you invite the government to these kinds of things, it turns into a political thing, and we don't want that. We just want to get the information out there for the people who need to make up their mind with regard to medical cannabis. Because there are a lot of people that are hurting, you know, Nuri. There are a lot of people out there that are hurting that need treatment.
A number of church officials are concerned about medical marijuana, and they use the word medical marijuana purposefully. Mm-hmm. Will the medical association, pharmaceutical association, would be there to educate those pastors who looks at medical marijuana?
The devil's lettuce?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's
something that is definitely not medicine.
Wrap your sins in the devil's lettuce.
And this is what this forum is for, to educate the Bahamian people. Because, like I said, we've been talking in silos. And the Pharmaceutical Association and the medical, well, more so the Pharmaceutical Association, they've been talking through the media a lot. And so they want to sit down with the people directly and tell them exactly what the issues are with regard to these regulations moving forward.
Right. And I think as soon as we finish with this caller, I want to touch on something that I think is a myth and that people should hear constantly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing, Aaron?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning to you again.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, you came this morning, you said that you would be distributing medical marijuana, right? My question is, what is medical marijuana? If it isn't marijuana, what is medical marijuana? It's a genetically modified marijuana that makes it a want to make it a drug. Knowing that marijuana has many components.
Okay, so I think that leads right into the point that I was going to make, right?
My second question is, I feel as if the medical association never had no affiliation with marijuana, don't know nothing about marijuana, getting the whole conversation, as the previous caller said, for the money, you know, and to basically hold the corner of disabled. The medical, at least from our medicine, then actually, in actuality, marijuana is a plant, is not a drug. And how is it that the medical association can be distributing a plant? Then, in essence, like the previous caller said, it grows by seed, and it can literally grow anywhere, you know, ubiquitous.
Okay. All right. So everything's cool. Thank you, caller.
I'll bring up the point of arsenic. You can find arsenic naturally as well, too, but that's a controlled substance as well. That's a poison that kills you, and that has to be controlled.
You eat too much cassava. Cassava is one of the most well-known food killers. If you eat too much cassava raw or not properly prepared, right? Apple seeds, you eat enough apple seeds, the cyanide dose. You respond, I want to respond to it as well.
I want to say something. He said that the medical association is only in it for the money. And that's a very unfair statement, I would say, because these people, they spend years getting trained to treat you, to help you. When you go to a doctor, when you go to a hospital, they train their medically trained professional that spend years getting training to help people. And it's very unfair to say they're in it for the money. That's very unfair.
Right. Caller, give me 2 seconds and I'm coming to you as a non-expert. Hypothetically speaking, I don't even know if I'm speaking at all. The difference between, like how you frame it, cannabis and medicinal cannabis or medical cannabis. People think that when your doctor prescribes you a medical cannabis product, you're going to go home, take it, and get high and can't do, you know, can't move. You may start hallucinating. Medical cannabis is giving you the components of the plant in the dosages necessary to treat the ailment.
Yes.
So when you go buy a 5-play, hypothetically speaking, y'all don't go buy nothing. You don't know what the dosage of THC is in the plant. You don't know what the dosage of CBD is in the plant.
Exactly.
You don't know what the strain is, right?
You don't know if it's laced with cocaine or, right, or fentanyl.
Absolutely. The difference is that the components have been taken and given to you in the form necessary to treat your ailment. That's it right there. I was going to use the word cast aspersions, but I think you handled it completely. That's another conversation to the two callers about the prohibition of cannabis. We could have that conversation at another time. Maybe, like I said, those organizations would be willing to speak to those proponents of lifting the prohibition. Maybe they would be willing to share data that they have collected as they continue to prescribe and dispense. Yeah? So it doesn't have to be a fight. Producer, you're playing that music for me? There you go. Caller, I'm so sorry. I got to go to a break. You heard my producer talking to me. If you could hold on. If not, call back when we come back from the break. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So what are the boy?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Collect the Bear of the Bahamas. Invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Junkin' Winners. The Saxon Superstars. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant, DJ Tank, and performing live, Van Sean and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkin' Winners, Saxon Superstars. Victory Fest 2025, Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square. Hosted by Rika C. Gates open at 8 p.m. Let's celebrate Junkin' culture and the Saxon Superstars. Collect reminds you to drink responsibly, play.
Heed the call to action against abuse and violence, and for hope and healing. Join Women Walk 2025, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m., Clifford Park. Come, walk, pray, wear purple or white, stand up for a strong, healthy community. A free event, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m.
It's the lottery of love that everybody wins.
I love you.
Everybody Wins is giving away over 100,000 in cash prizes in the Lottery of Love.
I love you.
All February long, every $20 spent, you'll receive a raffle ticket. The more you spend, the more chances to win. And you could be among the 30 winners randomly selected on February 28th to win $10, $20, or even $30,000.
I love you.
It's the Lottery of Love at Everybody Wins. Remember to game responsibly and get ready to win.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Roberta Flack got a scholarship to Howard University at the age of 15. She was already a classically trained pianist at the time. A phenomenal voice. And we, the new generation, we's lucky to reimagine her with Lauryn Hill and the Fugees and their wonderful remix. Just as we end the show, Mr. Yuri Kemp, we're talking about this forum that's coming up this Thursday, the 27th of February, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Harry Seymour Library, University of the Bahamas, The Truth About Cannabis. The event is being hosted by the Bahamas Medical Association in conjunction with the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association. These two organizations want to create a space for public consultation to share with you what they believe the benefits are and the, what do you call it?
The disbenefits.
The disbenefits and the benefits are, and I like that language, of medical cannabis, their role and their profession's role in and under the new legislation, in and on the cannabis authority, a mechanism that will be created by this legislation. And today we have been, I have been sharing some of the questions that I would bring to a forum like this, and I'm hoping I can get to attend. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newman. Good morning, dear panelists.
Morning.
While I wouldn't say that they into it for the money, what I'm saying is to the gentleman in the studio, you have to realize that you guys have a chance to collect data. You have a lot of people here who are admitting that they have smoked this cannabis for decades. And so maybe you should use that. And they should have an input also because you could actually use them to disprove and to prove same thing. So I noticed you said that it could be laced with cocaine chloride, but That's for a naive person. When people buy it, they can look at it and see that. So if someone does that, you don't. Back in the 70s, they would sell it roll up. That's the only way. Or if you are very naive and you just go smoking with anybody. So that's really something that should not even be mentioned. And the fact that you didn't say anything about alcohol. Alcohol is known as a stupefying drug, but you don't see people worrying if the pilot is drunk. But you smoke weed, unless it's your first time, it don't impede you from anything. I mean, it actually makes you think better sometimes. And all those short-term memory effects, those are temporary. Those high blood pressure and all those drop in testosterone, they are temporary. I have a Newsweek marijuana's 2.0, and you should read it, because what happens is there are scientists in there, and they have proof that cannabis also for your medical medicinal purposes. It also has neuroprotection. It is the only plant that, more than any drug that you would dispense, that actually controls nausea and appetite.
Thank you, 52. But I don't think that the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association or Medical Association are making a moral judgment or a moral statement. The forum is to discuss their role in the new legislation, the new mechanisms, and the new industry that is about to be created. I agree with you, collecting data, and hopefully they make it available to other advocates so they could engage in other types of advocacy around the issue. But I do think it's unfair to tell them, because they're not talking about these issues, that we don't trust you. They're telling you specifically what they are speaking about and why they are having a forum of this nature, because they are concerned that the government is not fully consulting the most important or the central stakeholders in this conversation. If, like Minister Darvill said, that the intent is to establish a regulated medical cannabis framework for the Bahamas, then let the medical professionals be centered in the process and in the industry, right?
And that's all we want.
Yeah.
And that's all we want. You know, we just want to come to, we want to help the government get this thing over the finish line. And that's what the Pharmaceutical Association and the government want.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Kemp, for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
I'm going to try and join y'all on Thursday night.
Please do.
And then we're going to have a follow-up conversation
after
the forum, if you will please help me do that.
Yes. Dr. Cooper and Dr. Smith will be there to take questions from the media and anybody who's available. And it's going to be a question and answer period as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's Thursday, the 27th of February, 2025, night after tomorrow at Harry Seymour Library, UWE. Producer, thank you very much. I stretch your patience, but look at that beautiful Roberta Flack music you playing for us. You guys have a wonderful day.
Tonight, I celebrate my love for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.